All right, welcome. This is the situation update for Thursday, March 3rd, 2022. Mike Adams here, the Health Ranger. And wow, today, so the big bombshell that we're going to cover in depth today is this new study that shows that the COVID vaccine goes into your liver cells and it causes a reverse transcriptase of the RNA into DNA, which means that just as we've reported all along, these vaccines alter your genetic code. And in essence, these vaccines cause transhumanism. They forever change your genetics. And that all the fact checkers and all the media lied and lied and lied about this because they said, oh, it's impossible for the vaccine to alter your DNA. It's just impossible. And then it turns out it's scientifically validated, proven, just as we said all along, once again. Isn't it amazing? Everything the fact checkers said was impossible turns out to be true. So we said it was created in a lab. And they said, that's impossible. They said, no, it was released, you know, bats and pangolins and must have been a meat market in China. Nope, came out of a lab. Turns out it was gain of function research. It was funded by the NIH and the NIAID, funded by Fauci. Well, Fauci controlled the funding. Also turns out then Moderna had patents on key sequences from SARS-CoV-2 back in 2016, which means Moderna was building this thing years before the entire pandemic. It also proves that Moderna synthesized the virus in their own laboratories and claimed that was the necessary step to making vaccines. I should have said it's a necessary step for selling vaccines. And then now we find out that, yes, it alters your DNA. So we are going to go through some details of that story when we get to it here. We got a few things to cover first, some kind of insane news, some insane headlines. Did anybody watch the State of the Union speech two nights ago? I should have mentioned it last night, but we didn't have the videos compiled yet. And thankfully, other people out there yesterday put together videos. We've got a highlight reel of some of the craziest things that Joe Biden said. It's only a minute long, a little over a minute. I want to show this to you because I've got a couple of comments about it. So roll them, Joe Biden. Here we go. 3, 2, 1, go.
Time to see the what used to be called the Rust Belt become the home of a significant resurgence of manufacturing.
Okay, this is just sad. I'm tempted to mock Joe Biden here, but it would be cruel to mock an Alzheimer's patient. The fact that they have stuffed him into this role to pretend to be president when he belongs, frankly, in a convalescent care center. It's just sad. It's almost hard to mock, but let's see what else he says. Go ahead and play again.
Putin may circle Kyiv with tanks, but he'll never gain the hearts and souls of the Iranian people. He'll never.
So, I love Joe Biden's world tour of speech. It's like, let's go from country to country and just involve everyone. I would imagine there are Iranian people who have been watching all this unfold in Ukraine and Russia, thinking to themselves, you know, this is awesome. Finally, we are not in the news. You know, we are not the enemy of America. Or I'm sorry, that's my attempt at an Iranian accent. But anyway, now then they're listening to Joe Biden say that Russia's not going to win the hearts and minds of the Iranian people. And all of a sudden, and then the Iranian people watching this are going like, holy smokes, how did we get dragged into this again? Well, that was more Irish, I suppose. But hey, why not just make it Irish-Iranian? Since it's Joe Biden, it could be Irish. It could be Scotland. It could be anyone in anywhere. But today it's the Iranians suddenly got dragged into this whole scenario. This is just unreal. You can just see the Iranians going like, no, not us, it's Russians. And then the Russians are like, net, it is the Iranians. And Biden's like, have we bombed you yet? Because Russia's one of the few countries America hasn't bombed in the last 50 years or so. You know, let's see, what, Yemen, Yugoslavia, Somalia, Afghanistan, Iraq, Panama, there was that. It goes on and on, but not Russia. So maybe Biden's just going down his list of like, who have we bombed so far while making excuses for it? It's a pretty long list, folks, but let's see where Biden goes next.
Preventing Russia's central bank from defending the Russian ruble.
Okay, so Biden has trouble pronouncing the Russian ruble. Wait till he attempts to say renminbi or the Chinese yuan. Good luck with that. But this is just amazing. It's like he's talking with his mouth full of something. He is full of something, but as if there's something physically in his mouth. Like if he took a tissue here, I have a tissue here and just stuffed it in his mouth and then tried to, it's a Russian ruble. Central bank. I'm Joe Biden. I don't know where that tissue has been. All right, before I freak out, let's play the next segment.
Increasing the productive capacity of our economy.
Did you catch that? You catch how he said the word economy? Because this actually happened in Idiocracy. There's a line in Idiocracy, and I couldn't find the clip, but I remember it from the film, where somebody's saying that he's going to fix the economy. And Joe Biden just said economy, which it's just unreal. Economy with what? Hominy? Are we going to grow hominy? Are we going to subsidize hominy to fix the economy? Is this the Biden plan? All right, so I can't resist this. I'm going to play a clip for you from Idiocracy. This is the State of the Union address by President Camacho, played by Terry Crews, who's one of the most brilliant comedic actors ever. I'm a huge fan of Terry Crews. Check out this. It's just amazing.
Y'all monkey ass down. Chill out. Now, I understand everyone's shit's emotional right now, but listen up. I got a 3-point plan to fix everything. Break it down, Camacho. Number one, we got this guy not sure. Number two, he's got a higher IQ than any man alive. And number three, he's gonna fix everything. I give you my word as president. Fix the problems with all the dead crops. He's gonna make them grow again. And that ain't all. I give him my word. He's gonna fix the dust storms too. And I give you my word. He's gonna fix the economy.
Okay, there it was, folks. He's gonna fix the economy right there. President Camacho, I'll give you my word. He gonna fix the dust storms, right? This is what Joe Biden and then all the obedient sheeple Democrats are clapping. Oh my God, he's so amazing. I'll give you my word. Oh, he's gonna fix the economy. More applause. Yeah, these are heroes. Brain dead Biden. He's gonna fix the economy. It's literally a scene ripped right out of Idiocracy. Let's continue, shall we? Let's continue.
He's so smart. He's gonna do it all in one week.
President Camacho stood before the world and promised everyone that Joe would solve all their problems. He would not only end the Dust Bowl and heal the economy, but he would cure acne and car sickness as well. And if he didn't, President Camacho made another promise. He would kick Joe's smart balls all the way up to the roof of his smart mouth, and then he would throw his brainy ass.
All right, it seemed pretty crazy back in, what was it, 2006, right? When that movie came out, I think. And now it's a documentary. It's like we are watching this unfold in real time. So now let's go back to Joe Biden and see what he says that is ripped right out of Idiocracy. Here we go.
Because you can't build a wall high enough to keep out a vaccine. The vaccine can stop the spread of these diseases.
What did he just say? You can't build a wall high enough to keep out vaccines? You know there's millions of people around the world still trying to decode what he meant about that. You can't build a wall high enough to keep out vaccine. Doesn't that mean that vaccines are invaders? Is that the metaphor? That vaccines are storming the walls of the castle, but it's useless because the vaccines are going to get in and destroy your civilization anyway? Is that what he means? That's a whole new version of reality right there. Thank you, Biden. And I'll give you my word. We're going to build a wall high enough to keep out the vaccines. You can just see it. It's just right there. It's on the tip of his tongue. We need Terry Crews. Terry, if you're listening, please make an appearance. Help out old Joe there. He needs a comedy break. Okay, next, now that we're finished with the Joe Biden Idiocracy Edition, we're going to go on to Kamala Harris and her Idiocracy Edition. Oh, this is really something. So I'm not sure if we're going to be able to grab this video and play it for you. It's only 30 seconds. So I'm going to try to recreate it just in case. But essentially, she was invited on to a radio show where apparently she is speaking to a predominantly black audience. And so Kamala herself, she goes into this, what you can only call like a dumbed down mode of where she thinks she's speaking to incredibly stupid people. And it's insulting to all of humanity, frankly. But if I were listening to the show and I were a black American, I would be totally insulted by this, because Kamala comes on and she says literally the following: Ukraine is a country in Europe, period. It exists next to another country called Russia, period. Russia is a bigger country, period. Russia is a powerful country, period. And I remember reading books in kindergarten. I think one of them was called I See Sam. And Sam was a lion. And it was just like Kamala Harris. It was, I see Sam. Sam is. Sam sees me. I see Sam, see me. Right? The book was like that. It was introducing like three words, you know? This is the way Kamala talks to black audiences in America. Cause she ain't black, folks. She ain't black, you know, to borrow the line from Joe Biden. She ain't black, and she thinks, I'm not even going to say it, what she thinks about black people is so racist and so condescending. She always talks down to black people in America. It's totally different than the way she talks to white audiences, but let's see if we can get that clip. Give it a listen yourself. Here we go.
If you're watching any level of news, even social media, you're seeing everything that's going on right now in the Ukraine. Break it down in layman's terms for people who don't understand what's going on and how can this directly affect the people of the United States.
So Ukraine is a country in Europe. It exists next to another country called Russia. Russia is a bigger country. Russia is a powerful country. Russia decided to invade a smaller country called Ukraine. So basically, that's wrong.
So the host, you know, he sounds like a fun guy. He's energetic. He's hip. He's young. Oh, thanks for joining. You know, Kamala gonna break it down. And then Kamala jumps in. And the best way I can figure out how to do Kamala's voice, because it's very nasal and it's kind of screechy. So you could join with me on this. I think the way to do Kamala's voice is to screech and hold your nose a little bit while speaking in a really condescending, whiny voice. And I think it goes something like this.
Ukraine is a country in Europe. It exists next to another country called Russia.
So, you know, something like,
Russia is a bigger country. Russia is a powerful country. Russia decided to invade a smaller country called Ukraine. So basically, that's wrong.
Now, of course, Kamala doesn't know any history of America, or she's sweeping it all under the rug, you know, because think about all the small countries that America invaded or bombed or assassinated the leaders over all the years, Central America, South America, economic hitmen all over the world. So my reply is,
Kamala, so basically you're saying that America as a big country that's bigger than smaller countries. It's totally wrong.
And just remember, folks, when you wonder why Kamala talks to people this way, especially she talks to black people this way, remember that the Democrat Party can't even admit to super basic biological facts.
A woman is a person that was born with a vagina.
Like, they can't even say that. That's too complicated for them. But they're happy to say Ukraine is a country in Europe. It exists next to another country. Does she know that Ukraine borders more than Russia? Does she know that Ukraine has seaports? I'm just wondering. Does she know what's on the north? On the west? Does she know anything about the history of Ukraine? Of course she doesn't. Because America is run by retards. Completely idiotic, moronic retards who, I mean, Biden can't even say economy, and Kamala Harris doesn't know anything about the geography of Ukraine, or the world, for that matter. She probably doesn't know what continent she's on. All right, now moving on, there's also a video, I'm not going to play it, it's too long, but it's the Wheel of Fortune Idiocracy Edition. And there was a contestant on the Wheel of Fortune who's being widely mocked across the internet. And so I'm not going to give out her name, because she was trying to solve the puzzle, the phrase, which was a feather in your cap, or a phrase very close to that, I think. And the word cap didn't yet have the C and the P. And so she was spinning the wheel and taking guesses. And I think it's Pat Sajak. Isn't he the host of Wheel of Fortune? I saw that from the video. And Pat Sajak is losing his mind as this contestant can't solve a feather in your cap. And I think she guessed a feather in your hat, which is not a bad guess, actually. Cap and hat, kind of synonyms, right? And then she guessed the second time around, a feather in your lap. And Pat Sajak said, well, the feather is moving around, cause he's probably losing his mind thinking like, how can a contestant come on here and not, I mean, it is the Wheel of Fortune. You're supposed to be familiar with, oh, I don't know, words and phrases, maybe. and then she can't guess it at all. Another guy finally solves it. Oh, a feather in your cap. I wonder how far this could go if she got more spins, you know? A feather in your nap, a feather in your clap. I know that's two letters, it's an extra letter. You know, a feather in your pap, a feather in your, like everything except the right phrase. And it makes you wonder, you know, I understand it's live TV, people can get nervous, you know. We've all made mistakes on live broadcasts. We, you know, have a little, you know, brain freeze. So I get it. That's why I'm not giving out her name or anything. But it did seem really odd to a lot of viewers that here we are in a country where you have helicopters falling out of the sky. You have small aircraft crashing in record numbers. You have a president who can, or a fake president, who can barely speak. You have a vice president that talks like she's in kindergarten. And that's also her knowledge base of the world, kindergarten level knowledge. We are living in idiocracy. And it makes you wonder, how much damage have these vaccines actually done to people? This is a legitimate question. People's brains are just not working anymore. And these masses that took vaccines, by the way, you notice how quickly they can all change their online icon to the Ukrainian flag, which is kind of embarrassing. You know, these are the same people who had masks. They changed everything to masks. And before that, everything was a needle and a vaccine. It's like this thoughtless crowd that just follows whatever rage is spreading through the population like a mental virus. They're incapable of thinking for themselves on anything. And they just follow the herd and do whatever the herd says to do. And if you ask these people any questions about, oh, the history of Ukraine, or the history of Russia, or the history of World War II, or even the history of America, they have no idea. they're not even living in this world. Their minds are somewhere else, out in La La Land. You know, celebrity news, paying attention to whatever is being pushed on social media or CNN. They have no clue. And every time Western media tells them a lie, they just swallow it. Oh, so gullible. Oh, vaccines are safe and effective. And now it turns out vaccines alter your DNA, which we're going to get to that story here in a little bit. But it's just amazing, isn't it? How gullible people are. They just go along with anything. They don't think for themselves. That's why I'm all about teaching knowledge and teaching skills. And one of the main messages you've heard me repeat over and over again is to think for yourself, learn how to do things yourself, and then get the practical experience of doing it yourself. That's why I give out my audiobooks for free, because I'm all about sharing knowledge. I want people to learn. I want people to have hands-on experience. And I want people to be much smarter than the masses, because the masses are clueless. Oh, and by the way, there's a new online course about growing food that's launching, March 12th. And it's from Marjorie Wildcraft, who I know and who I've interviewed. And you can find out about that. It is a program, a lot of videos, a lot of how-to videos. It's free to watch, but you could also purchase the program separately if you wish. And it's at icangrowfood.com. That's the website for that, icangrowfood.com. And then also right now, the Jonathan Landsman course about cardiovascular health and how to repair and regenerate heart tissue, that's going on right now. It's at healthyheartclass.com. And that one, the episode tonight, which is episode 3, is the truths about blood pressure. So if you've been told you have blood pressure or high blood pressure, and you've been given blood pressure drugs, this is critical information about how you might be able to balance, stabilize, normalize your blood pressure naturally, you know, through food and exercise and habits. And all you got to do, just go there, healthyheartclass.com, enter your email. It's free. You can watch each episode for 24 hours. There's another episode tomorrow and for the next, I think, 6 days or so. Yeah, I think it's 6 days, maybe 7. There are different episodes. Now, both of these are affiliate programs. They're free to watch. If you choose to buy the downloadable versions, we do earn an affiliate fee of some kind. I have no idea actually what that is. It's a way to help support us. But more importantly, these are people I know. I know Jonathan Landsman and I know Marjorie Wildcraft, and their information is top notch. They know the right people. And Marjorie, she's pretty amazing. I visited her farm when she lived in Texas. It wasn't that far from Austin, so I visited her and got a little tour of her food system. She's hands-on, man. She's hardcore. She is like growing rabbits and vegetables and fruits in pretty poor soils, actually. Her farm was in an area that was a lot more, it was sand. It was a lot of sand, like really sandy soils. And there's different kind of soils around Central Texas. And her farm, the soils were quite poor, but she was still growing a lot of food in those soils. And she knows how to do it. Let me tell you, she can teach you how to grow a boatload of food on a very small amount of land. I mean, I don't know if the claim is, you know, like feed a family of four off half an acre. I don't know if it's that, but it's a lot of food in a small space. I think she's one of the best informed people in that area. So again, that's icangrowfood.com to check out that program. Oh, you know what? I just brought up that website. Here's the headline. This is pretty funny, actually. I haven't seen this till now. How to grow lots of food in a grid down situation, even if you have no experience, are older and out of shape. That's a funny headline, Marjorie. It should be called like home gardening for fat people. No, she's making a good point, is that you don't have to be young and highly fit in order to grow food. You're not going to have to rake and hoe and weed and do all this stuff all day long, which is kind of the old style of growing food. There are ways now to grow a lot of food with very little effort. She says, in fact, her page says, she's going to show you the fastest, easiest, and simplest ways to produce calories and nutrition in a crisis or grid down situation. The assumption is that you have no experience and you need to start producing food immediately. Well, that probably fits the bill for a lot of people. Interesting. Maybe I should tune in and watch it too. But you know, I grow in the hydroponic bins, but it's limited to what you can grow. You can't grow everything in the bins, but I am really happy with what I'm able to grow, and I'm growing off grid. I mean, I do have grow lights for the indoor bins, but I've got bins in a small greenhouse. It's no electricity, no pumps, no circulation. It's just plants in suspended net pots hanging down into the water with some cheap nutrients in the water. And they're in these, you know, polyethylene bins, and it's just kaboom, producing lettuce like crazy. I'm literally blending and drinking a massive salad every day in my smoothie thanks to that simple technology. The thing, like Marjorie and I, we think alike about a number of things, such as go super low tech. That's where she and I see absolutely the same. Like, don't go crazy on a bunch of gardening gadgets. Like, I have this super duper monitoring system. And there's these 12 probes that I put into the soil. And it tells me, you know, the hygroscopic concentrations of minerals and saturation points and dew points and all. It's like, that's kind of overkill. And that stuff's all going to break, by the way. It's all going to break. You don't need all that. Just throw all that out and do something simple that's reliable, that produces calories and doesn't get overly complicated. That's what Marjorie's into. That's what I'm into. How to grow food simply. And I think those are key skills, obviously, for where we're going. It's kind of like what I talked about yesterday, how to survive off grid. Remember, I was talking about baking soda yesterday. You're going to need to make a lot of your own solutions using simple ingredients. And knowledge is the key to all of this. So that's why I'm all about, you know, sharing knowledge classes and courses and books, you know, audio books and things like that. Okay. Also on the preparedness gear front, this is a funny but true story. So Tina calls me up. She's with the satellite phone store, you know, who's a sponsor. And she says, Mike, hey, please stop talking about the satellite phones. I'm like, why? She says, cause we don't have any. Everybody got them. They're all gone. All the phones are gone. I'm like, even the Iridium phones? Yeah, they're gone. And no, she wasn't whiny like that. That's just me. And the only thing they have is the two-way satellite messaging, the bivy sticks, which are very useful, by the way. But the sat phones are gone. And so the thing is, nobody knows exactly when they're going to get more because it's this global microchip problem. So the microchip supply chain collapse has hit the satellite phone supply chain, which has now been wiped out because of Ukraine. This is what she was explaining to me. People are buying these phones all over North America, and then they're shipping them to people they know in Ukraine or people they know near Ukraine, like shipping them to people in Poland. And then the Polish people are smuggling them across and handing them to Ukrainian people who are using them to stay in touch. So this is where a bunch of sat phones are going right now. And it kind of proves that, yep, they work in a war zone. They literally do. They work almost anywhere on the planet, but you can't get them now. So she asked me to not mention them. And I've failed completely at that, but I'm just trying to give you background of the fact that, you know, there is a point where you're too late to prepare. I'm sorry to say it so bluntly. There's a point, and I know there's pressures on all of us. It's like, you only have a certain amount of budget, right? And you got to decide, what do I really need now versus what's optional down the road? You know, like right now, what do you need? You need food. You need a water filter, let's say, or maybe you're trying to move out of the city and you need to get a place in the country. And I get it. That's way more important probably than a satellite phone or you know, a badass knife or something. I get it. We all have to prioritize. But that said, and this is what the masses are going to find out at some point here, there's a point where it's too late. You just can't get it anymore. Or the banks don't work or the power grid's just down. Or you're in a war zone. Suddenly it's chaos. That happened overnight to the people of Ukraine. God bless them. May they be safe. May they find peace, by the way. But it happened overnight. And a lot of people say, well, that can't happen here, wherever you are. But it does happen throughout history, over and over again. Wars, invasions, bombings. And a lot of it was carried out by America, by the way, or by the United States. Not the American people, but the criminal cabal that is, that has captured the nation and is using the American military as a bully force to terrorize other world leaders and nations and economies around the world. So wherever you are, the bombing can start tomorrow. Because think about this. Nobody on planet Earth is out of reach of the missiles of China, Russia, and America. Nobody. Between those three countries, all of which are run by crazy people, or incompetent people in the case of America, all three of those countries, if you combine them all, the missiles can reach every square inch of the planet. Nuclear missiles, ICBMs. And then there's submarines and aircraft carriers and hypersonic missiles and all kinds of satellite weapons, you know, exotic things orbiting the planet, waiting to rain down thunder upon the surface of the Earth with kinetic dominance that no one will ever forget. You know, this is what we are living in, a war zone. It's like living in a shooting gallery. And as you've heard me say, I know people in Kiev. I know people there, and they are dodging missiles, and they are dodging. I mean, it's real. I noticed there's some people in alternative media have been saying that they say it's not even real. They say there's no war happening, that in their view, that I've heard people say they think Russia's not even invading, that it's all faked. It's all fake. No, I assure you, there's real missiles. There's real bombs. They're really going into the underground shelters. There's really buildings being destroyed, including some residential buildings, especially in Kharkiv. That's the city. I don't know if I pronounce it correctly, but it's real. The war is real. Something, a lot of missiles flying. Okay, that's real. And there's a whole lot of people there. And again, I'm not in any way insulting the people of Ukraine at all. People of Ukraine are great people. And I honor them, and I wish them blessings and safety and peace. But there are a lot of people of Ukraine who wish they would have prepped more. Just like there are going to be a lot of people in America who wish they would have prepped. Or Canada, or, you know, Western Europe. The world's about to get very crazy, very expensive, very unreliable, and those who have not prepped are going to really regret not prepping. I can't wait to hear Kamala Harris try to explain to her audiences, what is a grid down scenario?
The power grid is something that provides electricity so that you can watch TV.
You know, it's going to be the Idiocracy version of where electricity comes from and how it works and what you use it for.
Electricity allows you to fill up the gas tanks of electric vehicles.
She'll actually call them gas tanks. Have you seen those videos of people driving into gas stations with electric vehicles and trying to fill them up with the gas pump, and they can't find where the nozzle goes? This is a conundrum. It's kind of like an IQ test, you know, Rubik's Cube moment. Like, solve this puzzle. There's the car. There's a gas nozzle. There's no apparent hole in the car to put the nozzle. Where do you put it? Think for a moment. Does the car run on gas or does it not? Ponder that while your fake president, Joe Biden, forgets the name of Thomas Edison, which he did, by the way. He forgot Edison. He's like, that guy who invented something, light bulbs or... every day, it's Idiocracy. All right. So going to change the tone here. I'm going to attempt to be more serious as we talk about the vaccines altering your DNA. That's coming up in the last half of today's podcast. All All right, welcome to the second half, roughly, of the situation update. We're going to talk about the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine going into the liver cells and then altering your DNA. Big bombshell study. And it is true. The vaccines alter your DNA, and so transhumanism is here. And these are all the things that, you know, the so-called fact checkers told us could never happen. The fact checkers who said the vaccine was safe and effective didn't come from a lab and couldn't alter your DNA and didn't circulate around your body. Maybe they should be renamed, fact fakers. I think that's what they are. They're fact fakers because all the facts, turns out, are on, well, our side, aren't they? Think about it. All of us. Dr. Robert Malone and Peter McCullough, myself, you know, Del Bigtree, all the experts out there been telling the truth about these vaccines, Dr. Bakhti and many, many others. We've all been correct again and again and again and again. And there are, of course, no retractions from the fact checkers who said that we were liars, even when the facts prove us to be correct. But, of course, what else would we expect? Now, before we get to that study, and I can't help myself on this. I apologize in advance. But I have to do one rendition of what I think should be the summary of the State of the Union speech by Joe Biden, set to the tune of Bad to the Bone, inspired by the Terry Crews, President Camacho of Idiocracy. So here's the State of the Union address by Joe Biden, inspired by President Camacho. I think it goes something like this. And I'll give you my word. I'm gonna fix the economy. And I'll give you my word. And we gonna fix the vaccines. And I'll give you my word. And we gonna fix inflation too. Like this. Oh, and then go get him. That's what he said at the end of his speech. You know, he's like, go get him. Like, who are you talking about, Joe? Go get who? What are you talking? Go get Putin? Go get Trump? Go get the nurse? Go get the diaper changer? Who are you talking about? Nobody knows what that meant. Or his comment when he said, you can't build a wall high enough to keep out the vaccines. I'm like, what? You can't build a wall high enough to keep out the vaccines. It's, we have to laugh, don't we? We have to laugh because if you actually grasp the patheticness of the situation in which we all find ourselves, the dismal reality that we are, quote, ruled by a lunatic who can't pronounce the word economy. It's mind boggling. It's mind crushing, actually, if you don't laugh about it. So that's why I do this. It's not to entertain the listeners of this podcast. It might not even be entertaining. Who knows? It's for me to keep my sanity. Honestly, I have to do this. I have to mock this insanity or my mind won't be able to handle it. Humor is, it's a survival instinct. It's a strategy that I've got to do. It's cathartic for me and I hope it is for you. So, that's it for the catharsis session today. Maybe I just saved all of us combined about $20,000 in, counseling fees right there. I hope. Maybe Terry Crews gets the credit for that. Maybe Terry Crews could save us all with a little, just break into the State of the Union address, like push Obama. I'm sorry, Biden to the side. It is Obama behind him. Just push Biden to the side and bring out, a machine gun as a President Camacho, that would actually make more sense. I think the American people would cheer that more than the Democrats cheering Biden. All right, so let's all go into geek mode for a minute here. Let's get into some physiology. The Epoch Times covered this story. Well, a lot of publications covered it. Here's a headline from the Epoch Times. Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine goes into liver cells and is converted to DNA. Study. This is a study out of Sweden. The researchers at the Lund University. And they said that they found that messenger RNA from the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine is able to enter human liver cells and is converted into DNA. Okay, you got that? Now remember, we were told this can't happen. That's impossible. But here's the explanation from the Epoch Times. The researchers found that when the mRNA vaccine enters the human liver cells, now follow me here, it triggers the cell's DNA, which is inside the nucleus, says the Epoch Times. In case you didn't know that, but that's where the DNA is, to increase the production of the line 1 gene expression to make mRNA, okay? Then that mRNA leaves the nucleus, goodbye, and enters the cell's cytoplasm. The cytoplasm is where the Ghostbusters live, where it translates into line 1 protein, and a segment of the protein called the open reading frame 1, or ORF1, that's ORF1, ORF, then it goes back into the nucleus. Hey guys, I'm back, where it attaches to the vaccine's mRNA and reverse transcribes into spike DNA, which is kind of like speaking backwards on a 1970s heavy metal rock album. And then boom, it's DNA. You ever play the old albums backwards? You know, you find them like worshiping demons and things. What is on this record? Reverse transcription is when DNA is made from RNA, says the Epoch Times, whereas the normal transcription process involves a portion of the DNA serving as a template to make an mRNA molecule inside the nucleus. And at this point, people are like, I don't care how it all works. Just give me the bottom line, okay? Okay, the bottom line is that the Pfizer vaccine goes in and alters your DNA, okay? Now, the Epoch Times did a good job on this. They pointed to the CDC's webpage entitled, quote, Myths and Facts About COVID-19 Vaccines. And on that page, the CDC claims, quote, listen carefully, the genetic material delivered by mRNA vaccines never enters the nucleus of your cells. That is a lie. The CDC is caught in yet another lie. Let's see. The CDC says COVID-19 vaccines do not change or interact with your DNA in any way. Another lie. Total lie. The thing is, they know it does. They know that this alters your DNA. So what are the implications of this? Well, there are two big implications. Number one, understand that the mRNA is patented. It's intellectual property of a corporation. When the mRNA goes into the cell nuclei and then gets reverse transcripted into DNA, and then your DNA begins to replicate that sequence, you are, how should we say this? You are in violation of international intellectual property laws. It means that there's now intellectual property in your body that is owned by a corporation named Pfizer, by the way, and that Pfizer can now make claim to your body as corporate property. You are now literally a slave owned by a corporation. Okay? They own you because now you are replicating their patented technology in your cells. It's piracy from Pfizer's point of view. You are now a biopirate. I know you always wanted to be a pirate ever since you were a little kid on Halloween, but now you are a biopirate, according to Pfizer. So that's the first realization of this. And the second realization is even more alarming. And it is that once the DNA are altered, your body begins to churn out a spike protein, bioweapon nanoparticles forever. you have been imprinted with spike protein, you know, cellular factories. and your body is now a bioweapon. Factory system is just churning out these nanoparticles. These nanoparticles are toxic to the vascular system. They're toxic to the neurological system, of course. They cause brain damage and neurological damage throughout the whole system. They're toxic to reproductive organs. They're toxic to the spleen, liver, endocrine system. What else? Let's see. Oh, lymph and lungs also, among other things. But pretty much all the organs, all the ones you need. They may not be toxic to the appendix, but they're toxic to everything else. So what that means is that then every day that you live, your body's producing more toxins. If your DNA has been overwritten, your body's producing more toxins each and every day, which means even if you, quote, get over the initial shot, this vaccine will continue to poison you for as long as you live. And as far as we know, there is no technology to reverse that, because there's no way to locate just those specific cells that are churning out spike proteins and turn them off or kill them selectively. There's no mechanism that we know of to do that, which means your body has been compromised for the rest of your life by this vaccine. That's what this means. It also means that this is an incredible crime against humanity, that these vaccines were pushed onto people without informed consent. There was so much scientific fraud and FDA fraud for emergency use authorization, EUA, under some super sketchy conditions of, you know, pressuring people and hiding the data. And you know how they're working very hard to keep hiding that data. Can't let it out. Can't let the public see it for 90 years. Why do you think that is? Is it because the data show that the FDA made good decisions? No, probably not. Probably not. That's probably not what the data show. But get this, the Epoch Times goes on to say there was a healthy 35-year-old female who developed autoimmune hepatitis. That's not good. It's like the liver attacking itself, basically. A week after her first dose of Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine. And then, let's see, said there's a possibility that, quote, spike-directed antibodies induced by vaccination may also trigger autoimmune conditions in predisposed individuals. And by predisposed, they mean people who are human. And it has been shown that, quote, severe cases of SARS-CoV-2 infection are characterized by, get this, an auto-inflammatory dysregulation. That means your body attacks itself in a chaotic fashion that contributes to tissue damage. Oh, gee, you think when your body tries to eat itself alive from the inside, could it cause tissue damage? Spike proteins may circulate in the body after an infection or injection with a COVID-19 vaccine. This is from the Epoch Times. It was originally assumed the spike protein would remain mostly at the injection site, but studies are showing that's not the case. Japanese regulatory agency's biodistribution study, which we've covered before, by the way, showed that some of the mRNA moved from the injection site through the bloodstream, where it was found on the liver, the spleen, adrenal glands, ovaries, and so on. In another study, the spike proteins made in the body after receiving a Pfizer COVID-19 shot, get this, have been found on tiny membrane vesicles called exosomes that mediate cell-to-cell communication by transferring genetic materials to other cells. And this has been found for at least 4 months after the second vaccine dose. Oh, do you think that could cause a problem with, cancer? Could cancer mutations, could that happen? Well, let's check out this other study. So there was a really good analysis at thecovidworld.com I want to share with you here by Igor Chudov. Let's see. Here's the title. This is kind of alarming. DNA transcribed from Pfizer mRNA vaccine contains mutant GP130 tumor gene. So what this guy did, Igor here, or Iger, I know there are different ways they pronounce it, that spelling. He took the printout of the genetic DNA code from the research article from Lund University. All right. He took that sequence and he ran it through a tool called BLAST. And this is the tool that's used by, you know, researchers to try to find patterns in genetic codes. Okay. And he said, quote, I decided to run this DNA code from the Pfizer mRNA vaccine into human cells. Turns out I was the first to enter the sequence into the NCBI BLAST tool. And he gives the sequence ID, and here are the results. The first few results are from the usual suspects, such as chimeric viruses, SARS-CoV-2 sequences, and so on. He says those are the expected matches, but what is interesting is the GP130 glycoprotein gene that is 97% similar to the human GP130 glycoprotein gene. And the chance of that being a random coincidence per the BLAST tool is 0.40 and then a 2. Okay. It's like 1 times 10 to the minus 40 or you know, 0.2 at the end or something. It's a very tiny number, all right? So it's not random. This is all engineered. All right, so why does this matter? What's the GP130 gene all about? Well, Iger goes into that, and it is. Turns out, if you do the research on this, GP130, it's a protein involved in neurogenesis during embryonic development. And let's see, it's also found in the heart and in the spleen and 25 other tissues. So it's in the adrenal glands, it's in the bone marrow, the brain, the colon, the duodenum, what is this, the endometrium, esophagus, gallbladder, and so on. Heart, kidney, pretty much all the important stuff. Okay? So then you might wonder, as he asks, what happens when the GP130 gene mutates? Nothing good comes up. And he says you can search for this, shows some studies, like this study from the Journal of Biological Chemistry. The constitutively active mutant GP130 receptor protein from inflammatory hepatocellular adenoma is inhibited by an anti-GP130 antibody that specifically neutralizes interleukin-11 signaling. And you're like, what does that mean? Liver cancer. Liver cancer. Yeah, so if the GP130 mutation takes place, you end up with liver cancer. So wait a second. This is being injected into people in the vaccine that's going into the nuclei of your cells and rewriting your genetic code to produce these sequences. So wouldn't that mean that the vaccine is programming your body to make cancer-causing molecules that give you liver cancer and cancers in 25 other tissues? And the answer is yes, that's exactly what it is. It's exactly what it is. It appears that the vaccine is designed to cause cancer. That's what it appears to be. Now, as a disclaimer, and also Iger, he gives a kind of a disclaimer, a clarification, and I'll repeat these here. He says that these findings do not mean that this will necessarily cause cancer. It also does not mean, in his view, that it was added to the Pfizer vaccine intentionally to cause harm. Does not mean that it's expressed as a GP130 protein because expression of genes depends on cellular context. And he basically says it does not mean that these mutations are absolutely harmful, that they may be harmless. But he says it does mean we need to look at this. We need more information. So I tend to agree this raises a lot of red flags, but we don't know all the answers yet, but it's highly, highly suspicious that these sequences are found in the genetic code of the mRNA vaccines, and that we now know that this genetic code goes into your cells and overwrites your DNA and causes your body to start producing these things. And it's also highly, highly suspicious that cancer rates are exploding right now among those who were vaccinated. It's also highly suspicious that all-cause mortality is skyrocketing, according to life insurance companies, right? So people are dying at rates that they've never experienced before, and it only happened after the vaccine started being, you know, injected into people. So you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out something bad is happening here, and it started with the vaccines. What could it be? Just look at what they were engineered to do. Look at the code. It's like, if something's going wrong with your computer, check the software code. What's in the code? If the code is written to make everything go crazy and chaotic and haywire and crash your system, then you're like, ah, it's the code. If the code that's going into your cells is written to cause mutations and cancer, then it's the code. And as some of these vaccine creators have said, it's like installing an operating system. The mRNA injection is an operating system install into your system. And then the operating system works like kind of like software. It's got code, and that's the mRNA code. And the code tells your body what to make. So if we look at the code, we know what it's telling your body to make. And what if it's telling your body to make cancer cells? Then that would obviously explain why people are getting cancer, wouldn't it? Okay, so I agree. We don't know this conclusively yet. We also don't know if this is on purpose. But we do know that a lot of the globalists have talked about vaccines as a depopulation weapon. So it is a feasible line of thought that merits further explanation. No question about that. All right, we're going to talk about Boeing here in a second, change the subject. But I was told that we have a brand new product now that I asked for specifically at the Health Ranger store. Want to share it with you. It's a great prepping product, and it is freeze-dried instant coffee from Colombia. It is certified organic, lab-tested, and also certified fair trade. And it's expensive. I'm sorry to tell you, it's expensive. We've got it in 3-ounce pouches or the number 10 cans. It's quite delicious. I'm putting some of this into my smoothies now. This may explain some of the hyper joy that I'm experiencing with the Idiocracy stuff. It's available in limited quantities. We didn't get a lot of it because we just kind of wanted to see how it goes and what people think about it. It's quite delicious, but not as delicious as, of course, fresh brewed coffee, but it's the next best thing and it's instant. So you can find this at healthrangerstore.com. Just search for freeze dried coffee and you'll see this come up. And it's available now. We've got the pouches and the cans. So enjoy that. And I think it's a great barter item because this does have caffeine in it, you know. And people who drink coffee, when they don't have their coffee, you know, they're willing to trade for it. You know, what do you want? What do you need? It's like, I need some coffee here. I have a collection of free crack pipes that we collected. Can we trade those for the coffee? It's like, eh. We don't really need the crack pipes anymore. All those people are gone. But now the Boeing story. This is fascinating. So Boeing just told the entire world that, well, especially Russia and Russian airlines, Boeing just told them that, hey, you know, remember those planes we sold you, you know, for tens of millions of dollars? We're no longer going to provide parts, the parts that you have to replace every 100 hours or 500 hours. You know, because airplanes, there are very rigid schedules for how many flight hours you're allowed to run before having to swap out many different parts. You know, they have hours on them, hours for inspections and then hours for replacements. So basically a plane is only as good as the supply chain of spare parts that's coming in. And this is true for military aircraft as well as civilian aircraft. But Boeing just told Russia and all Russian airlines that we're not going to provide any parts any longer and no support, nothing. You're on your own. Good luck with those planes that, by the way, tend to fall out of the sky all on their own, even whether or not you have spare parts. I mean, it's Boeing. It's just, you know, Boeing cheats on regulations and safety inspections the same way that vaccine manufacturers do with the FDA, right? It's just Boeing and the FAA are just as fraudulent as Big Pharma and the FDA, okay? And that's why Boeing planes have been falling out of the sky. And that's why they were grounded for, what, a couple of years now? Because Boeing made these modifications and just said, you know, some guy there was like, is that safe? And all the other people in the Boeing room were like, ah, just say it is, you know? Let's just wing it, literally, in this case. Let's just try it out. See it. See if they fly. See if the software works, you know? We know the center of gravity is all different now. The position of the thrusters has changed. The angle of the dangle is totally different, but let's just see what happens with hundreds of passengers on board, and that's, you know, they're falling out of the sky. So anyway, by cutting off Russia, Boeing has essentially announced to the world, don't buy Boeing aircraft. Because if you do, then the super woke Boeing Corporation may one day decide, we don't like you, and then we're not going to sell you parts. And then the aircraft that we sold you, pretty much worthless. Park it on the tarmac. It's worthless. And you do realize, by the way, that this violates Boeing's contracts with its customers. So Boeing, when they sell a plane, they sell a contract. I mean, the contract to supply parts is part of Boeing's obligation. So when you buy a plane, you're buying a subscription to parts, basically, because you got to have the parts. So Boeing is canceling its own contracts, you see, and screwing its own customers, which is the same thing that the SWIFT system is doing. You know, the SWIFT banking system. It's like, up until now, it's like, hey, all banks of the world, if you want to move money through New York, go ahead, sign up for the SWIFT system. We'll transfer stuff for you in and out, back and forth. Now it's like, we don't like you. You're cut off from SWIFT. And that's Boeing's message as well. So this is a form of economic suicide by American corporations that are totally blind, apparently, to the reality of the long-term implications of what they're doing right now as part of their virtue signaling against Russia. So by trying to go along with Biden and the Democrats and, quote, punish Russia, Boeing has made itself obsolete. At this point, no country anywhere in the world will want to buy airplanes from Boeing for all the reasons we talked about here, because Boeing can cut you off. And also no country will want to use SWIFT, frankly, because SWIFT can cut you off. And this is how we end up with what I talked about yesterday, de-dollarization, the collapse of the dollar, the collapse of the world reserve currency status, the petrodollar status, and ultimately the collapse of the American empire, which has been for many, many decades here, an empire of warmongering and brutality, and lies, deceptions, and terrorism against its own people, as well as all the other people around the world. And that's not a description of real America or the American people. That's a description of the criminal cartels that have seized America for the last several decades and have run it from their globalist criminal cartel point of view. This is not real America. And by the way, the elections have been rigged for decades. So the people who have run America into the ground, you know, not just what Ford and Carter and Reagan and Bush and Clinton and all of them, it's these people were not elected by the people. They were put in place through rigged elections. Probably the only president that actually got elected was Trump. And he got elected twice. And he might get elected a third time. We'll see how that goes. Oh, and there's one more thing to note here about how evil these occupying enemies are who run America. Did you see Nancy Pelosi kind of rubbing her hands together at the State of the Union speech? Right when Biden was talking about soldiers being, quote, stationed on bases, breathing in toxic smoke from burn pits. And Nancy Pelosi, like, stood up. It was a standing ovation, and she rubbed her hands together like a demon creature, like a gargoyle, like a vampire getting ready to drink some blood or something. It was like this weird little demon move that she did. And I wanted to explain for you the significance of that. And so when Joe Biden was talking about breathing in toxic smoke from burn pits, that is of course, Biden and Pelosi and Kamala and all of them, they all worship Satan. But part of their deal of worshiping Satan is they have to shove it in your face. They have to applaud demonic things in public. They get more evil karma points for doing that. So what they're doing is sacrificing what's described in the Old Testament of the burning of children in appeasement to Moloch. Which Moloch, I don't know how people say it. Moloch is Satan, basically. It's just another name for Satan. And so in the Old Testament, you know, parents, it was described that parents would take their living human babies and they would throw them into the fire pits. And amid, you know, all the screams of terror and crying of the children, and they would sacrifice their babies, which today is the abortion industry, but back then they just throw them into the fire. And then there's even a passage, and I regret, I don't know where it is. I'll have to find it. There's a passage where God is condemning these parents for sacrificing their children and then going to church the same day and praising God. it's like, you just burn your children up and you dare to come to the church and say you believe in God? They're literally sacrificing their children to Moloch. So that's what Nancy Pelosi was actually celebrating, this reference to the toxic smoke and the burn pits. And that's why she was rubbing her hands like a demon creature. And that captures the true evil of the occupying satanic enemies who falsely claim to be the leaders of America. And they're just, they're just enemy occupiers. They're not real America, but they've been running this country for a long time. And of course they assassinated JFK. They brought down the Twin Towers. They blew up the Edward R. Murrah building in Oklahoma City. And they have started this war in Europe by forcing Putin into this situation. And they, these same people, they're all demon worshipers, Satan worshipers. They're all pro-abortion. They all love murdering babies. They're anti-freedom, anti-Christian, anti-free speech, anti-Second Amendment, anti-human. They also hate white people for some reason. They hate families. They hate babies. They hate God. They hate churches. They hate the Bible. On and on and on. That's who these people are. And fortunately, you know, they're self-designated with a D beside their name, which means demon. And the best way to remove these demons from power without the country collapsing into, you know, revolution or violence or something is to vote them out. And again, very easy. Anything with a D next to it is a demon. Vote against the Ds and you've solved like 90% of these problems. Not all of them, because there are disguised Ds who pretend to be Rs and they're called rhinos. And sometimes you don't know until after they get into office. But by and large, if you vote out the Ds, you've solved a lot of problems. Okay, finally, last story today. NASA has vowed to put a woman of color on the moon. Because this is what science has come to now. is choosing astronauts by their skin color. Okay, so in this case, I agree with this policy as long as they send Elizabeth Warren. I think that's a great choice. Send Elizabeth to the moon and keep her there. Let her report from the moon from now on. See if she can phone it in from the lunar surface, the Sea of Tranquility. So according to NASA then, you know, white men need not apply for this position of astronaut anymore. No more white men allowed. And since NASA is run by actual racist Nazis, by the way, and that's a fact, the Nazi origins of NASA are well known, they also discriminate against Asian men. So Asians are not considered people of color according to NASA or the University System of California, the universities in Boston or New York and so on. They say Asians are not people of color. So if you're an Asian man, you're also not qualified suddenly to go to the moon. But do you remember my little satire bit a couple years ago called the transtronaut? Remember that? The spacewalking trans astronaut and is running out of air, you know, and the operator from Houston is like, we see you're running out of air, sir. And it's like, it's ma'am, you know, remember that skit? Well, I think that's about to become reality because if NASA's choosing a woman, couldn't it be a man pretending to be a woman? Could we have the first transgender on the moon soon? could they send a pregnant man to the moon? And probably they'll tell us the moon's made out of cheese too. If men can get pregnant, the moon's made out of cheese. And a cow can jump over the moon and, you know, everything else. So I think NASA should just go all the way. Just why not go out and recruit the most insane, combative, like body modified, you know, disfigured, you know, physically maimed, like organs cut off and everything. Just angry, ultra tattooed, you know, like weird, bizarre hair person that they can find and just call that person an astronaut with, you know, new pronouns like she and zher.
Hi, I'm your astronaut. My pronouns are she and zher and I'm going to the moon.
And just paint the whole rocket ship with rainbow colors, you know, and just drop all standards. Like you don't even know anything about space, physics, nothing. You're just qualified just from all the scar tissue, in your former genital area. That qualifies you enough right there. Hop on in. We'll make a special space suit for you with a pretend penis pouch and you can ride this rocket ship all the way to the moon having no clue what you're doing. And once you get there, you can say this is one small step for G and one giant step for your kind or something like that. That's NASA for you today. I mean, the whole pharma and vaccine industry has made such a joke of quote science anyway. It's like, why bother to save science in the realm of space exploration? Not that they were very scientific to begin with, but you know, at this point, everything's just a joke. The swim team, the gold medal winner on the swim team is a man. Like, but white men need not apply as astronauts. But could a white man say that he's a woman? Would that be enough? Could he self-identify as a person of color? Huh? How about that? Could I even apply as, you know, I am an Afro-Irish Native American, as I've explained many times before. And that's actually true from a genealogy point of view. That's a scientific fact. I'm Afro-Irish Native American. So is that enough color to get on the rocket ship? Not that I would even risk that anyway, because, I mean, you know who built it, the government. And the same people that are trying to kill us. Would you get on a rocket ship built by the United States government? Don't think so. And by the way, given that everything's fake these days now, you know they're not really going to send a woman of color to the moon. They're just going to green screen this whole thing. They're going to film it in a parking lot somewhere with CGI, you know. They'll have to fake all the 1/6 gravity. It'll just be and there'll be people online pointing out all the flaws like that's not possible if it's on the moon, you know. And then NASA will say, for real, this is on the moon, but it'll all be totally faked. You know, like half the school shootings look with the crisis actors and everything. It'll just be a total theatrical production. And then, you know, to prevent the woman of color from talking, the CIA will probably assassinate her and they'll say, we lost her on the return trip. It's such a tragedy. She's a national hero. The nation will mourn. The whole thing's faked. She's in a body bag getting dumped in the river somewhere with concrete blocks chained around her ankles. You know, like that's actually the America that people are coming to realize is true. It's all faked. Half of history is fake. Everything's staged. It's a criminal cartel. Everything's rigged. People are manipulated. It's like most of what people believe is false. And the truth is censored, you know. You know that in every way possible. You know, that's the truth about the world today, and it's the truth about the gangster cartels running America today, and it's the truth about how humanity has been enslaved on a prison planet for a very long time, folks. Very long time. It's just that a lot of people are only starting to see the bars of the prison. I mean, we've been in prison this entire time. But it was a prison that was invisible to most people because they were so heavily manipulated before the rise of the internet. It was the free information flow of the internet that caused people to start questioning their prison. And that's when the prison guards, i.e. the globalists, had to go full force and, you know, drop the fakery of being compassionate leaders and then just go full force. Like, we're just looting all your money, stealing everything, bombing your cities, and, you know, just censoring your voice, poisoning you, exterminating you with vaccine shots that alter your DNA, just on and on and on. So that's the stage we're at now, where the globalists are like, stop pretending, you know, to even love humanity. They're just at the stage where they want to wipe us out. So can we survive all this? Some of us can. I don't think they're going to manage to kill us all. The more we wake up, the faster we wake up, the better chance we have. So that's why it's critical to share this information and help red pill people all over the place. Share the word about this podcast if you know somebody who you think might benefit from it or might even bring a little joy to their life. Maybe not this last part here, but the earlier parts where we were joking around, maybe. You tell them, just listen to the first 20 minutes. Don't listen to the end. It's too dark. But just think about people who might benefit from all the things that we offer. Brighteon.com, many channels. Brighteon.tv, you know, hosts, shows, guests every day. And we have BrighteonRadio.com, which is also very popular and gaining some new hosts coming on board with that as well. We have a lot of options for you. And we have, a new Brighteon.tv channel in Espanol that is coming shortly. And I always wish I were fluent enough in Espanol to be able to be a guest on the shows and just do the whole interview in Espanol, you know? But at one time I was that fluent. I'm not sure about now. But I do know, how would you say this? Porque no importa qué idioma estamos hablando. Que es importante es la verdad. See? The truth is what matters. It doesn't matter what language we're speaking in. And so, I don't know, maybe someone could translate for me and jump on one of the Espanol shows. We'll see what happens. But I want to thank you for listening. That's the wrap up for today. I'm sorry I'm a little bit over time, but we had a little bit of fun today. A little bit of joy, a little bit of gloom. A little bit of hope, right? Welcome to, you know, Thursday. And we'll see what happens in the next 24 hours. In the meantime, I want to just say, hey, let's offer prayers for humanity. Let's call for peace. Let's call for liberty. And let's call for the dismantling and the defeat of the globalists who are ripping this world to shreds and causing so much human suffering. And thank you for listening. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Of course, naturalnews.com is where you can find the articles, and brighteon.com for more interviews and podcasts. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Take care.